Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's programme for March the 21st. I'm Isabel Leibold-Johnson in Bern. The universe. How was it formed and why are we here? People throughout time have tried to answer these fundamental questions, and although we have made great progress, we still do not have all the answers. One person trying to make sense of it all is Ben Moore, a British professor of astrophysics at the University of Zurich. He's the author of a Swiss bestseller about the history and future of life in the universe, and another book about life on other planets. He's so passionate about making the public excited about the cosmos that he's also turned his hand to film. Music is also a big part of his life. In fact, you are listening to one of his tracks right now. I caught up with Moore at the Rietberg Museum in Zurich, where he's been the scientist in residence for an exhibition on creation myths and the beginnings of European research into the universe. Outside, the skies are blue and the sun is shining. Enter the Rietberg Museum's Cosmos exhibition and you are plunged into another world, or more accurately, into thousands of years of trying to explain the existence of our world. Ben Moore is waiting for me inside. In trainers, jeans and hip glasses, he doesn't look like your average astrophysicist. I ask him what's so special about this exhibition.
To me, it shows really that this is a topic that has interested people in different places at different times across the world and throughout human history. That's what's most remarkable to me about the exhibition. It brings together wonderful artifacts from all over the world, from different time periods, and it shows the imaginations that humans have to make up stories about our world and the cosmos around us.
Is there anything that really stands out for you?
Well, to me as an astrophysicist, of course, I like the original textbooks by Galileo and Copernicus. Galileo was the first to point a telescope up at the stars, and in his book you can see the first drawings of the moon and the craters that he saw for the first time. And Copernicus's book is very famous because it brought back the Greek ideas that the sun was at the center of our solar system.
So the Greeks hadn't been too far off, really?
No, they were quite remarkable what they accomplished. They knew that the Earth was a sphere. They had measured its size with a calendar and a stick. And they knew that the Earth went around the Sun and that the Moon went around the Earth. They were pretty advanced.
And what about now? How far are we in our understanding?
Well, the Greeks, they showed us our place in the solar system. In the last 100 years, with modern cosmology, we've really discovered our place in the universe, that we live in a universe that is 13.8 billion years, it's tens of billions of light years across, and it contains hundreds of billions of galaxies. And we have realized that our own Milky Way is not special, it's just one of many countless other galaxies out there in our universe.
But the mystery of the universe, to echo the title of the exhibition, that's still not fully explained.
Oh, there's plenty that's not fully explained, thankfully, otherwise it would be quite boring, wouldn't it? But yes, of course, there is the big mystery of how and why the universe began. That's a question which might not be solved for many more generations of scientists. It's a hard question.
But what Moore has managed to do in a special film for the exhibition is to explain the history of the universe as we now understand it in a very accessible way. Here he is introducing the film, standing on a bridge in the middle of Zurich at midnight.
It is difficult to make sense of the development of our universe owing to the enormous range of timescales involved. To make this a bit more comprehensible, let me rescale the entire 13.8 billion year history of our universe into one solar day. That is, into a 24-hour timeline. So that every hour that passes is 575 million years, every minute is 10 million years, and each second is 160,000 years.
What is surprising to a layperson is that the sun and the solar system only appear in the late afternoon. And we humans come in rather late too.
last second appearance. I think all of recorded human history takes place in the final second before the end of the day.
So really our understanding, our scientific understanding of the universe is really just before midnight.
That's where all of our knowledge has come from, and we understand quite well the history of the universe back to a fraction of a second after the Big Bang. And as we already discussed, that it's that first fraction of a second that we don't understand yet.
And in the film you also talk about what might happen the next day, and that involves just after lunch, the sun coming to an end.
We are at a time in the acquisition of knowledge where we can not only say quite robustly what happened in the past of our universe, but also what will happen in the future. And we understand quite well how stars form and how they work and die, and we know pretty much exactly when the sun will run out of fuel and switch off. That's about 7 billion years from now. But in fact, as the sun burns through its fuel, it is getting brighter, and the temperature on Earth will be increasing every day. And in about 1 billion years from now, then our oceans and atmosphere will start to evaporate. And 1 billion years on this 24-hour timescale is just a few hours after midnight.
Now, this is also what you do in your day job as a professor at the University of Zurich. What tools do you have at your disposal for studying the universe?
Our research is mainly based around supercomputing. We try and understand how structures around us formed, from stars to planets to galaxies. The formation of any of these objects involves a lot of complicated physics, nonlinear physics. It's called nonlinear equations that we can't solve by hand, but a supercomputer can solve that and show us how structures may have formed. You program in all of the relevant physics and maths and let the computer do the calculation. And at the end, after several months of waiting, perhaps you will then take your computer simulation and compare it to the real universe to see if you have a model that matches the observations.
And what's your fascination for the universe?
Probably the same as many people's, just to understand more about where we came from and where we are going.
And you've written about it quite widely, including two popular books, one of which was in the Swiss best-selling lists about the universe, and you've also written about who else might be out there, i.e. aliens.
The second book, Da Draußen, it was motivated by the fact that recently astronomers have discovered that most of the stars that we see in our galaxy have their own planets going round them. And just this past year, the first Earth-like planets were detected orbiting their stars in what's called the habitable zone, where life may exist on their surfaces. So the book explores that and the possibilities of what life might be like on these alien worlds.
So we often think of little green men, or films have invading aliens that we all have to fight off. What does Professor Moore think that aliens might look like?
It's very hard to say, because Hollywood has burned in this picture of an alien as a four-limbed, symmetric, bipedal creature, rather like a human, and the reality could be far different. There are hundreds of thousands of species with brains on our own planet, any of which might develop the intelligence to become the next overlords of planet Earth. So you can just use your imagination for what aliens might be like. They're probably symmetric, because things that move, it's a benefit to be symmetrical. But perhaps aliens are like an octopus, very smart creatures, brains distributed throughout their bodies. It's a possibility. Contact, contact, contact.
Moore's music also has a universe theme. This track, Contact, is from his latest album, Escape Velocity. If you can't understand the lyrics, that's because they're in the Swiss minority language of Romansh. How does he define his musical style?
It's a mixture of styles, mainly electro-rock style, I guess. It's All the songs are built up around guitar melodies. I play the guitar, could be acoustic or classical or electric guitar, and then we build up the songs from melodies on the guitar and replace many of the synthesizers in electronic songs with guitar. This new album took 4 years to make, and my style has changed quite a lot over the making of the album. This is one of the first songs I made, so it's one I like a lot. And it incorporates a sound in there, a sound of the Big Bang in the transition. And that's really the noise you could hear if your ears were the size of the universe.
What do you seek to express, to bring across in your music?
I make music because it makes me happy, and it also makes me happy when other people like my music, of course. That's the reason, really.
So it's another form of communication.
It is. It's a form of relaxation as well.
That's all we have time for. We'll leave you with Aurora, the last track on his album, and he describes it, most appropriately, as the chill-out track. Something to listen to while pondering the mysteries of the universe. All the music in this program can be found on the album Escape Velocity. Thanks for listening. And thanks too to studio technician Daniel Wheeler. For more on Ben Moore, go to swissinfo.ch. Tune in again next week. I'm Isabel Leibold-Johnson.